So the questions are these. How can we really activate the best of the private sector to meet the challenges of the real world? Is there a way to accelerate my career that doesn't involve boring online or classroom courses? And can I really impact people in the developing world with the skills that I have? Can I finally feel proud of what I know? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Philippa White, and this is TAI Unearthed. Keep listening, and you can follow us on our journey as we show you how we're connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Hello, everyone. Philippa White here, and welcome to episode 25 of TAI Unearthed. Now, today I'm chatting with Özlem Özkan, who in her own words is a culturally diverse woman based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Now, she was born and raised in the Netherlands. She comes from Turkish parents and has lived and traveled all over the world. She's a teacher, founder, podcaster, author, and coach. Now, Özlem, it is really lovely to have you with us today. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Philippa, for having me.
Now, I wanted to start with a Maya Angelou quote that I can personally relate to. And when I read it, it also makes me think of you. You are only free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place, no place at all. And I think that quote is a great way for us to start this conversation. And I just, yeah, we're basically going to be talking about just the power of being a citizen of the world. And I think you would probably classify yourself as being a citizen of the world. So talk to us about your background.
That's a beautiful quote from Maya Angelou to start with, actually. I really like it. So yeah, I was born in the Netherlands and my parents are Turkish. And I felt initially when growing up, I do not really belong anywhere, only to my family. And so am I Turkish, am I Dutch? You know, there were a lot of cultural clashes, identity clashes, who I was. And, you know, it comes also from because of a different religion. My parents come from a background with Islam. And in the Netherlands, a lot of people are atheists or Christian, Catholic. So there were a lot of clashes, and after I graduated from university, I lived in Turkey in Istanbul. I moved there only for a summer school, but ended up living there for 5 years. Worked at international schools. After 5 years, I came back to the Netherlands for just a bit. Then moved to Denmark to work at a multinational company in the fashion, the tech side. I have worked for. And then I came back again to Amsterdam, and you know, but while I was living also in these three different countries, I traveled first, of course, in Europe, but then we went actually every summer with my parents to Turkey. So, and when we went to Turkey, we were really Turkish, and in the Netherlands, we were super, super Dutch. But yeah, belonging somewhere, not knowing where I was belonging, was it Turkey or the Netherlands? So when I moved to Denmark, the first time in my life living in a country where I did not have any attachment to, I could look at the two cultures I grew up with, the Turkish and the Dutch, from a very objective viewpoint. And there I felt like I do not really belong anywhere, but which is okay. I started being okay with not belonging, and I belong to the world, whatever that is. You know, people say global citizen or whatever the label is. I belong to everywhere.
So when people ask you, because here in Brazil, I can relate to what you're saying. You know, I was born in South Africa, grew up in Canada, also British, lived in England, and then I found myself in Brazil. And it's funny because a lot of people in Brazil, I mean, if you're Brazilian, you are Brazilian. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. there's no question, you are a Brazilian. And so if you were born in Brazil, like, you are Brazilian. And so the question is, where were you born? And where you're born is where you're from.
Yeah.
And so people say, you know, where are you from? And I'm like, God, I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't know.
Well, where were you born? Like, well, yeah. I was born in Cape Town, South Africa, but I don't really feel South African. They're like, okay, so you're South African. I'm like, yeah, but that's just it. I'm not. And so I'm just out of interest. What do you say? Because I'm sure it's the similar kind of, you know, where are you from? What do you say?
This really depends of the setting and the context when people ask me this. Usually people in the Netherlands, when they ask me where are you from? I say, I was born here, but I also have a Turkish background. And when I was living in Istanbul, they said, where are you from? I'm from Netherlands, but my parents are Turkish. And I remember one day, and this was the first time I heard this from someone not from Turkey, not from the Netherlands. I was living in Denmark. And the owner of this company goes, are you Turkish or Dutch? And I was like, it really depends of the moment, you know, because I can switch immediately and without thinking. It is just such an habit. When I'm with Turkish people, I can be super Turkish. When I'm with Dutch people, I can be super Dutch. When I have, for example, a customer from the Middle East, I know how to speak. I know the way I need to speak. It's not that I think, like, let me make this strategy. Or, for example, I would say if I work with someone from Dubai or any other Middle Eastern country, okay, the deadline is then. Because I know there might be a little bit space. Also, from a cultural viewpoint, not a bad thing or a good thing. It is just different.
Fascinating.
And with Dutch people or Danish people, I know I'm there 5 to 10 minutes earlier. Earlier than the time. And if it is a commitment, I am fully, fully committed. You know, it's super different. But, you know, in the Turkish culture, when you have a meeting here and the family just jumps in the house, it's a hi, welcome, you know.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
Come in. We have food. Let's cook this and that. That happens.
Yeah.
It's
so fascinating listening, even just you talking about this, you know, the cultural idiosyncrasies with regards to meetings, but I'm sure you feel this too, having properly identified with so many different cultures and being able to switch it on, switch it off. But also it means that you really understand them.
Yeah.
You must really be able to relate so well with so many different people.
Yeah.
And I mean, that...
It's so funny, Filipa, you say this. I was last year... During COVID, we could travel here. In summertime, I went with a friend to Italy. So I just call a restaurant, we want to book. And I start talking on the phone next to my friend without knowing, without being conscious about it. Hello, we want to book a table. Yes, 9 o'clock is okay. And my friend was laughing at me. She said, what are you doing at the end? I was like, I don't know. I just feel like they talk in a melody, you know, English. And I'm just going with that flow because I feel like they are comfortable with that. I'm just going. Or when I speak to a Spanish person or a Turkish person, I change the way I act. I change the way how I talk. It's not only also, by the way, the Turkish and Dutch culture I grew up with, but my family's family members, they all moved in the 60s and 70s to Europe. Some moved to Belgium, some moved to Denmark, some Germany and France. So each summer, when we went back to Turkey to this house in the village, there were no people that were living there in winter, but all my family in Europe went back there. So that was our meeting point. And my cousins, which are French, Turkish, I am Dutch, Turkish, they were speaking French. And we're like, parlez français. And you just few words. And then the German cousins, the Belgium cousins, and you know, they brought food from their country. And it was, you know,
wonderful.
I was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And that happened.
Yeah.
And now it is, you know, you look at it like, wow, what a life. Amazing.
Right?
And which was amazing, but also it was not always easy, I have to say, you know. It was also a little bit struggle sometimes with, oh my God, can we just do one culture? You know, it's much easier, straight line, just go. But then you learned it, you know, and then you know to survive and to enjoy.
Yeah, and so that actually, I'd love to ask you, I mean, what have you learned about yourself and the wider world growing up as a number of different cultures?
Yeah. So I think what I have learned about myself, that also includes actually about human beings. I'm a human being, that we are so flexible and that we are so able to do things at moments when it is required. You know, you are just all of a sudden in a situation and then you know, you have to deal with it. And we are so able to deal with that, to stepping into different cultures. And it's, for example, if you want to learn Spanish, I would say go maybe to a Spanish course, but then go to the country because you have to speak it there. You have to speak it there. So what I learned for human beings, we are super, super flexible. What I also learned by traveling, by talking to so many people, by interacting with them, staying at their houses, being helped by them while I was traveling, I learned that we human beings, regardless our religion, culture, nation, politics even, are so similar to each other. You know, we want to belong, we want to be loved, we want to interact, we want to help people. And it is everywhere so similar. In a different way, the form is maybe different. The form, you know, the shape, like, you know, we have this glass. It is white and there is a letter on it, but the glass in Japan is different. But at the end, it is used for being
beautiful
together,
analogy.
Having a tea time, tea ceremony together. And also what I actually really learned the most and appreciated is there are always people out there that want to help. Always. Always. And that's really, that made me feel a lot home. Like really someone is thinking of you. Because I also traveled a lot alone, not always. I actually traveled more than I went on holiday abroad. You know, holiday is for me going to the beach, chilling, nice, seeing maybe some culture. But when I was traveling, I was like, okay, you know, where am I going to stay tonight? Shall I, instead of the taxi, which I could pay, I was like, I'll take the bus. I'll take the train.
For sure.
I take the minibus to see how the locals go.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
Yeah, people are really kind-hearted. But also our struggles, problems are so similar. The form is, again, different. But... And also, like, even the difference between, from a wealth perspective, like, people that have more money than other people, they both have problems, struggles, but different ways, you know? And it is not that one problem from a little bit more richer person is less important than someone that is struggling to make money.
Talk to us about, and I'm going to say it wrong, Chonibashi?
Yeah, Chowanibashi.
Chowanibashi. Now, just so our listeners understand, Uzulem has written such an insightful, thoughtful, inquisitive story book. I mean, this book, it's called The Student, and it's just made up of beautiful stories of... And it's quite emotive of various different experiences that you've had at very different moments throughout your life and the learnings and the insights that have come from that. I loved reading it. This particular story really, I found myself covered in goosebumps. I found myself, it was very emotive. And for me, I think beautifully represents what you've actually just been saying. And can you bring that to life for the listeners?
Yeah, of course. So first of all, thank you. Thank you so much, Filipa. I'm so happy always to hear from the readers that they have enjoyed reading and they may could resonate or I don't know, that it did something with them in a good way. I really love hearing that. Chawani Bashi means in Kurdish, how are you? So I have never known this word until 2011, I think. So I grew up in the Netherlands. My parents are Turkish, and my parents were very firm in holding to their own culture, the Turkish culture. Outside, you can also be Dutch, education, friends, but we shouldn't forget the Turkish culture. So when I was growing up in the 90s, there were a lot of conflicts between the Kurdish and Turkish ethnicity in Turkey, in the Middle East. And my parents were always like protective about us, like, hey, be careful. I had one Kurdish friend, a very nice girl, nice family. And I was very good friends with her, but I still had to be a little bit careful. And there were a lot of things going on politic-wise in Turkey. Turkish people killing Kurdish people killing Turkish people. I was scared. I grew up very scared for that ethnicity. And then on the age of 22, my friend, high school friend, was killed by her husband, which was also Kurdish. So I was like, okay, my parents are right with keep a distance. You know, I had a huge judgment because, you know, there was a lot of fear. Fear creates all these judgments that we are having. We do not want to feel the fear here. That's why we just put it out there. So I go to Istanbul. I start living there and I work at an international school and I have a girl with a Kurdish ethnicity. So I'm just like, oh yeah, now you're working at an international school, you're open-minded, friends from all over the world. But that fear, you can say like, hey, I've done all these stuff, things, but that fear kept existing. So I was invited to the house of this family. I was teaching her for 3 years. And they appreciated it. They said, come over for dinner. And I was like, I didn't say that. I was like, I don't have time. I had all these things, reasons to not go. But I didn't tell. I'm fearful, so I'm not coming. So then one day I was like, hey, I should just really go there and see what's happening. And it's okay. You know, go there with fear. So I entered the house and, you know, I was that time I could fake a lot that I was actually good. I felt good, while I was not feeling inside good. So I just go in and I'm scared, like, what's going to happen here? And there is an old lady sitting on the couch, one leg bended and sitting on the other leg. I wish you had a video. Her head was a little bit bent downwards and she had prayer beads in her hands. She had a headscarf and she was whispering some Arabic words, which meant oneness, oneness, thank you, thank you, thank you. It means Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. These 3 words she was saying. And then she puts her head a little bit up and she looks at me. She says, welcome, my child. May you bring honor to our house. She says it in Turkish with a Kurdish accent, by the way. So I just got goosebumps. I was like, what's happening here? What's happening with me? Am I fearful for this lovely lady? So I sit down. We have some chats. We get tea. I feel so comfortable. I feel like even like she's like my grandma. It was an older lady. They invite me afterwards to their restaurant. And then I enter there and they say like, oh, you're Kurdish, Chawani Bashi. And I'm like, no, no, no. But they thought I was Kurdish because in their opinion, I look like Kurdish. And by entering to that house, to that family, to see how they live, who they are, not only in my classroom with my students, I experienced that my fear was planted in my being, in my head, by television, by also that my Kurdish friend was killed. It could be anyone that could be killed, right? It could be a German person or a Swedish person or, I don't know, any person from any other country. And they taught me Chawai Bashi. Chawai Bashi means, how are you? So now each time when I go somewhere and then I hear someone is Kurdish and I'm like, Chawai Bashi. They're like, Es Bashi tu Chawaiim. And they're like, oh, you're Kurdish. I said, no, no, no. Then I say, I'm Turkish. And sometimes I feel also like they are in, and but because I start this Chawai Bashi with, how are you? We make a connection.
It's beautiful. So important. And so totally.
And you know, it is this family which indirectly made me get rid of my biases, my judgments, my fear, by just being themselves.
This is why these types of experiences are so, so important for people to step out of, to expand their personal circle, to be able to meet people unlike them and to start to empathize. I think, you know, if everyone did that, if everyone met people outside of their circle and exposed themselves to different cultures and exposed themselves to different challenges or different ways of seeing things, then the barriers start to go down and the walls start to go down and we start to open our hearts and we start to understand and empathize.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so important. And just listening to this, it was such an ingrained sort of indoctrination.
Yes.
For you, through your culture and through the, you know, the television and through your family. I mean, family is incredibly powerful. Whatever your mom says growing up, it's okay, well, then that's what is, right? You don't question it until you're much older.
Yeah.
And then it's just through these
experiences. Oh, you do not question it. There are also a lot of people, they do not question it. They keep going.
Well, that's just, it's only one, exactly, you don't. I mean, once you get older and you start to have these kinds of experiences, you start to create your own stories. But as a child, think about it. I mean, there are certain things, if it feels completely wrong as a child, you do kind of rebel. And I know from the book, you sort of, there were things that you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. You sort of, I'm going to wear my own clothes or whatever it is. Yeah. But ingrained things like this, you do tend to, it's only as you get older, you start, but hold on a second, that's just not the way it is. And it's just so important. But just tell me about, you know, in the book, you also talk about the power of stepping out of your comfort zone. You moved to Istanbul, for example. And that, you know, that was a challenge for you. And so just, what were some of the challenges that you faced that you felt transformed you?
Yeah.
You know, what did you learn? Maybe you can tell us a story that kind of stands out.
Yeah, of course. I don't think I have written that directly into my book. But, you know, for example, for me, a lot of things said that most people are not doing is a lot of time depend on their fear for things, you know. They might not want to do something, that's a different, but if they want to do things but they don't do it, there's usually a resistant experience or a fear somewhere that you don't do things. So me moving to Istanbul, when on the age of 24 actually, might seem for a Western world person, or I also grew up in the West, yeah, but everyone does it. You're even 18, 19, 20. You just move out of your house now. But for me, it was a huge step because I grew up in this family where my parents, you know, supported us a lot for study. They also had their norms and values, which they wanted me to keep. And a girl does not actually move out of the house before she's married. I went and I left the house and I was 24 too. And alone to another country. It wasn't even the Netherlands. That was a first big step, which was huge because my parents did not like it. Not at all. And most of my friends, the Turkish, Dutch one, they also didn't do these things. This was a really weird stuff. You know, and again, for your listeners, I'm not fully sure, Philippa, if they might resonate with this or not, but it might be maybe like, you know, you study at Harvard, you do all these things before, you just do, and then you stop after Harvard, you finish, you do not practice it, and now you are gonna live as a monk, I'm just saying, somewhere in India. You have all done these things, and then it is bye, boom. You know, it's super, and I went to Istanbul. And in Istanbul, I was so lucky and privileged that I could teach at an international school because I have a teaching and a pedagogy degree, and I got hired at this international school. And you believe it or not, I speak now English, yes, but I was so fearful of speaking English because I thought my English is not good. I was hired as a classroom teacher, which had to teach in English everything. So, and I was like, okay, then I'm just going to teach now everything in English. So before I was teaching...
I mean, even just that, listening to you, sorry, yeah. Just even that.
Yeah.
I mean, just for our listeners, just put themselves, you know, not only leaving the house, which is so against everything, right?
Yeah.
So that in itself is just, yeah. Okay, sorry guys, I'm leaving parents. Yeah. I know that you're totally against this, but I'm doing this thing. Mm-hmm. Then you go to Istanbul, which is a huge city. And you're on your own and you're female and there's already all that baggage
yes,
that you have to deal with.
Yes, definitely.
And then you've got the language where you I mean, obviously your English is fantastic, but I guess it was still fantastic at all. Yeah. And so you're still having to get, and then you not only apply, so you've got guts. I mean, apply for this job, then you get the job.
Yes.
And you're like, right, okay, now I actually have to go for this. I mean, it is extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, actually, I always trusted myself in a lot of things when I was younger, but the trust came also from a very deep fear that I had. And I wanted to get over the fear. So what I did is I just pushed myself constantly for putting myself out of my comfort zone, which I afterwards realized it was not the right thing to do. But, you know, going, applying at this international school, learning all the interview questions that they might ask me, and also learning all the possible answers that I could give, which I didn't do, by the way, at this podcast now. And then she hires me with thinking, you speak amazingly English. Yeah, of course, because I memorized all these sentences I could give. And then I started working with Australian, Canadian, British, South African people, which the native language is English. And, you know, I was in shock. I was like, oh my God, how am I going to survive here? And I need to teach kids. Luckily, they were younger. And I was like, how am I going to do this? So what I did, every night, I was teaching myself the whole program for the next day in case a kid would ask, you know, some little words that I might not know. Or, for example, in math, what is subtraction, addition? I didn't know that. I learned it in Dutch. I didn't know it in English. So I was teaching myself, then the kids. And I was just, you know, I was also faking that I was good at English and all. And it just, you know, I just put myself, I learned a lot of things when putting myself out of my comfort zone. And that has been also my way. Sometimes nowadays, I have to admit, I struggle with it because now my life is so predictable in many ways, not the COVID, but you know, and sometimes I don't want to plan that much because my body is so used to jump in, now figure it out. But that comes with the multicultural upbringing.
Absolutely.
Jump in, you know,
you know. I know. And it's, as you know, Thai is a leadership development program or experience. And we talk a lot about sort of, you know, be constantly curious, to be constantly inspired, expand your personal circle. There's a few different, you know, areas that we sort of touch on, but one is push through boundaries to unlock potential. And I just think listening to this story, reading your book, listening to just through so many different moments in your life, it's just been about pushing through, you know, pushing that boundary, pushing, and then you just unlock that potential. And I wanted to get to that just because as we're getting to the end of the podcast, because, You know, adversity is a powerful growth tool. Pushing your, you know, having those challenges, you grow, you learn about yourself, you learn about what's possible. And I know that working, you know, on the growth and development of people is also very important to you.
Yeah.
And I know that you've recently started a coaching business.
Yes, that's right.
Which feels very fitting considering your pedagogy and your experience to date and the fact that you truly embody what happens when you push yourself and unlock this potential. And I just wonder, talk to us about where that inspiration came from. You know, what do you focus on? What type of coaching do you do?
Yeah. You know, actually it came from my lifelong wanting to know who I am, actually. That it came from, that was the basic, because I was always wondering, who am I? And I tend to actually, you know, it sounds all nice, pushing and doing all this stuff, but I tend to be a person that was always pointing fingers to people, not directly, indirectly, of my parents are responsible for the way I am, the way I can do this, the way I, or my boss, or my friends, or blah, blah, blah. And then I was, 8 years ago, I thought, maybe it's just really time to start inside of me. What's happening here? And the more I looked from my to my inside, I could change from the inside out. And usually I was thinking the outside is responsible for what's happening inside of me. And I have different friends from different cultures. And whenever I am with them, I have always this idea of helping people. Sometimes I need to really disassociate from that identity, because I like helping, thinking about for the people, with them, asking them questions so they can go inwards in order to also change outwards, whatever they want. Eh? And for I think the past 8 years, everyone was saying like, hey, you should do just really become a coach or a psychologist or this. And I was like, no, I don't want to be a psychologist. I studied child psychology / pedagogy, but I don't want to sit and just listen, do some cognitive therapy or therapy. But if someone is interested in how to change some of the things in their life and reach their goals, I'm happy to help. So I put this up, the coaching. It is called transformational coaching. And what happens, there are 5 sessions. And we start with the first session of to really get to know the person. And in a way, how you want to get, how you can get to know the person in only 1 hour to 1.5 hour, right? But I ask questions, so the person that I coach answers his or her own questions. And then we look at what are the habits, daily routines, weekly routines that the person is actually having, and what are the beliefs connected to these habits? What's going really inside? And after we have in 1, 2, 3 sessions, we have put that on a map, let's say. Then we see different parts of the life, what the person is thinking. Hey, actually, I have here difficulties with. We are going to look at what's happening. Why do you have difficulties? You know, a lot of women, for example, they have beliefs around, I'm not enough, I can't do it. I want to be run a business, but I can't. I don't trust myself. Or some more very deep, deep down beliefs as I do not deserve to be loved, for example. That's a very common, what I hear a lot. And these all beliefs are actually creating the reality that they are experiencing. If I would think now, I can't do this podcast with Philippa. I can't do public speaking. If I would think that, I wouldn't be sitting here, you know? If I would have that belief. But for example, I want to do it, but I can't. I need to look at what is happening here. After we have processed them, I'm not talking about got rid of them, because also as Seth Godin said on my podcast, we are not looking at like, how to get rid of your narrative that you actually don't want to hold, but we are working on how do you dance with it? when thoughts come.
Have you learned to live with it?
Indeed, because it will keep going. And then afterwards, they write down for themselves where they want to go to actually. They are here. After we have defined what beliefs are creating them to be here, we're going to look at how do you get there? And I'm not going to tell the person you should do this, 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 because I'm not the person that I'm coaching. I'm not the whole being that I am coaching. I'm just the being that is supporting, coaching the person in how she or he wants to get there and make him and her see the strength that he or she has. I am standing with you, next to you, to explore your inner world. Also, a lot of people always ask me, oh, how did you write this book? How did you go to Istanbul? How did you find a job in fashion while you studied education? How did you do this? How did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not special or something. No, I'm not extraordinary. I'm just a person. Because I thought, I can. Let me make a plan. Let me learn how to live with my thoughts that say, yeah, but you have to have a business degree, or you have to have an audio degree in order to be a podcaster, or you have to know people in order to be a podcaster, or I don't know, whatever people have in their mind. No, you just start. And yes, by the way, you put yourself out there. There will be people that are laughing at me, like, oh my God, is she a podcaster? Oh, is she writing this book? Yeah. But there will be also people saying, hey, I like it. And, you know, what I really like is instead of focusing on the critic, focus on the people that you can serve.
Absolutely. That's a really wonderful way to leave this, actually. I think that's great. We will include, of course, on the notes, the link through to how people can reach you if they want to get coaching. Uzlem does have a podcast, obviously, as she's talking about the podcast, so we will include that. And as we just wrap up, I mean, do you have any final thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, the final thought is, and please do it for a minute, you know, after you say stop on this episode, really get still and believe in the power within you. Believe, please, in that. Because there is such a huge power within you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time. You're a huge inspiration. And your book, gosh, we will include your book in the notes as well.
Yes.
It's The Student, absolutely. Uzlem, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Filipa, for having me. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. This is Filipa again. So this is your chance to get involved with Thai. We have three absolutely amazing virtual opportunities available, all rooted in connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Thai has never been more necessary than right now. So if you're looking for life-changing leadership development opportunities for your employees and you want your company to impact the world, we've got you covered. If you're looking to step out of your comfort zone and use your skills to make a difference and keen to meet other like-minded professionals with similar values, then our Thai Accelerator program is for you. There are so many options, so I urge you to get in touch. Go to theinternationalexchange.co.uk for more information or just shoot us an email. Better companies, better leaders, better world.